Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest spent 16 years in Pakistan as a missionary, pastored a church in Toronto for 9 years, and since 1991 has published 9 books. Eric Wright's latest book, a novel titled Riptide, introduces us to Ashlyn Forsyth, who, in the space of days, is abandoned by her husband, kidnapped by the Russian mafia, and falls in love with a Georgia shrimp boat captain. With me on the phone tonight is author Eric Wright from his home in Colborne, Ontario, and we'll talk to Eric in a few moments. But first, let's listen to Somewhere Beyond from Ali Matthews' Carry Me Home CD.
An iron fist in a velvet glove. Oh, the turning, twisting ways of love. I'll never claim to understand, but I believe you hold the answers in your hand. A killing wind, an orphan's cry. There's so much pain and I don't know the reason why. But I hear you say, my child, it won't be long. For peaceful waters, they will flow.
And now to our conversation with Eric Wright. Good evening, Eric.
Hi, how's it going?
Not bad. Now, you spent time as in ministry as a missionary and a pastor, and then you decided to write full-time. When did you actually start writing? When did your love for writing begin?
I think I was sort of dumped in at the deep end of writing. It came sort of out of necessity while I was a missionary. One thing, I wanted to make sure our prayer letters were interesting so people would read them and really pray for us. And secondly, we discovered that the national church really needed teaching. So we started a theological education by extension program. And to do that, I had to write self-teaching textbooks. So in the next few years, I wrote 5 of those. So that got me into it. And the director of our mission wanted me to write a paper on missions from the book of Acts, so I did that. And he introduced me to a publisher, lo and behold, and that was published as my first book.
So you sort of got into nonfiction before anything.
That's right.
Now, when you did start writing and when you started to do things like that, did you have any influences? Were there people that you kind of looked up to as other writers that you thought, I'd like to be able to write like them, or that their style was something that you thought was something that you'd like to work towards?
Well, I think early on, people like Philip Yancey and John Piper and others like that, even Martin Lloyd-Jones, were those that I wanted to look up to, who made the scriptures understandable and clear. But then I've always loved fiction. So I've always loved sort of reading novels. So John Grisham was one I went, man, I'd love to be able to write like him. And then came Vince Flynn and James Scott Bell and later even Brandlin Collins, these kind of people.
What made you decide? I mean, you spent, you know, about 16 years on the mission field in Pakistan. You then did a stint as a pastor in the Toronto area. What made you get to that point where you decide I have to write full time?
Well, that's a good question. The pastorate is so time consuming and so absorbing that it was sort of hindering what was sort of somehow, I didn't understand it myself, that I wanted to write or that I was a writer, and it was sort of bubbling up within. I had two main challenges in the pastorate that I wanted to get across. I wanted to get across the importance of forgiveness. So I wrote Revolutionary Forgiveness about that, and then I wrote a book about Church No Spectator Sport, but I couldn't get it done. So we took a sabbatical and finally finished that book. I went back to the pastor for a year, and then I thought, man, you know, I really feel like I would like to have more time to write. So I resigned the pastorate and took interim pastorate, sort of half-time, so that I could carry on with writing.
Well, looking at all of that, and as you're going through it, you and I have both been to the Write Canada conference, and one of the things that we always find there is these new writers that come in, and they all of a sudden have this aha moment through whether it's a conversation at the dinner table or listening to one of the speakers, where they suddenly have this aha moment where they're able to say, "I am a writer." Did that happen for you, and sort of when did that happen for you?
Ooh, I don't know. I think that's been difficult to admit. You know, when you look at yourself and you're supposed to be, as a Christian, humble, and to admit you're a writer is a challenge. But I think the conferences, the Word Guild conferences, certainly had a big part in that. I can't really touch a specific moment, except maybe our neighbors. We had moved to a log house north of Port Hope, and I was writing more full-time, and our neighbors seemed to like my writing. But one of them suggested, look, why don't you write fiction? Get across these ideas, get across these truths using fiction. So he seemed to recognize me as a writer, and that sort of encouraged me in that way.
When did you sort of shift to fiction? And I mean, I know that in your first couple of books, The Lightning File and The Captives of Manara, you actually used some of your background in Pakistan to help with some of the settings in those books. Where did you sort of get to the point where you actually did start writing fiction?
I think that was when we moved to north of Port Hope and I had more time. And the influence of this neighbor, he challenged me that way. And I thought, well, you know, people really love stories. And I want to get across truths. I want to get across the Christian faith. I want to interest non-Christians in it in a non-threatening way. And since I loved reading novels so much, I thought, well, why don't I try a hand at writing them? And the idea came for The Lightning File when I would read in a local newspaper about all these drug busts in farmers' fields, and that led on to other things. And I think it was probably about 12 years ago.
Now, what sort of, and I mean, I'm finding this out myself, but what are some of the learning curves you had to go through from writing the nonfiction books like, you know, Church No Spectator Sport and Revolutionary Forgiveness to writing fiction? What did you have to sort of relearn or unlearn out of that whole process?
Yeah, it's a huge learning curve. Fortunately, there were groups at the Word Guild workshops that helped me in that regard. But leaving sort of the pedantic point after point sort of type of writing in which you take a truth and teach it to us, telling a story, is such a huge jump that it took me quite a while to realize I needed to have characters. What were the characters like? Because I hadn't had any thought about characters before. What about the plot? I had to decide on a plot. And dialogue was a learning curve to learn how to get across ideas, get across the plot using dialogue. So this is quite a learning curve.
Well, what I want to do is add, look at how you pull together Riptide, but we're going to take a break first and sort of look at how you use those lessons in writing Riptide. But we're going to take a quick break and then continue a conversation with writer Eric Wright. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
One ordinary moment, losing this foolish pride, humbled for even just a moment, casting my selfishness aside. Could I bring a simple kind of offering? Could I make a difference to this day? Enter in the heartaches of the suffering, sing with the sorrows of the slaves. For I have eyes to see, and I have ears to hear, to be shaken, an awakening upon me, to be taken to the very deepest part, promise spoken, just a token from within. Sinking in muddy water, no one could even see their pain. Heaven cries for all our sons and daughters. Every tear is a drop of rain. So could I bring a simple kind of offering? Could I make a difference to this day?
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Break God's Heart from Ally Matthews' Carry Me Home CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with author Eric Wright. We're talking just before I went to the break about some of the lessons and things you had to learn as you were writing, you know, developing character, looking at plot, those type of things. Riptide's your third novel. What did you learn from writing The Lightning File and The Captives of Manara that really helped with the development of Riptide?
I think one of the things I certainly learned, and also from my own reading, that things need to go fast. And there needs to be less description. I love description because two of my books have been description of nature and things in nature. I had to leave that and restrict my description, move the story through fast. So that was one thing that was a challenge to me. I always, when I went to critique groups, they were often saying, no, no, too much description here, cut it. So that's one thing I learned. Use short sentences, make it clear, make it simple, move it along quickly, have the plot move. That's the kind of writing I like to read anyway.
Right, and I mean, you mentioned John Grisham as someone you started reading and reading his novels. They're very very much the same way. Looking at all of this, where did the idea behind Riptide come from?
Well, I think the idea for Riptide came from several different areas. My son is a financial consultant, and there's so much today about money laundering and corruption in the financial industry, so that was one theme. The other main theme was as a pastor and as a Christian, my heart really goes out to women who are abandoned by their husband. And we learned from Barna that 32% or so of Christian marriages end in divorce. So here we have people who are struggling, they're dealing with heartache, they're dealing with the shattering of their life. I wanted a book that would sort of deal with that, how a female character could cope with the shattering of her life and these kind of things, so that it would be sympathetic for someone from a female perspective. Particularly, many of the problems, I have to admit, as a man, come from those of my sex. So that was one part of it. The other was St. Simon's Island. We love St. Simon's Island. It's a barrier island off Georgia. We spent a sabbatical there. We visited it. And there's not an awful lot written about it. The shrimping and the island. I want to put that into the book. So there's those sort of influences.
Well, one of the things, and you talked about, you know, one of the things that you find as a pastor is your heart going out to women who have been abandoned. That's a shift for you, because in your previous two novels, you had a male as the protagonist, and then you changed this one to a female. Why did you do that? I mean, you very easily could have made one of the other characters, I'm thinking of Remy, the protagonist rather than Ashlyn. What made you decide to make the female the protagonist this time?
Well, I wanted to get into the heart and soul of a woman, which is hard for a man, I'm sure. And it was a challenge, and I like challenges. So I just thought, well, let's try. And so I would try it, the early chapters, take it to a critique group, and all of the critique groups I part of, both online and locally, are mainly have women who are the writers. So they were able to give me an awful lot of input and help in how to really approach this. So I just wanted to have a book that was not so male-oriented, but was from the perspective of a female first person, a woman going through these challenges, and I just tried it. Mm-hmm. Gradually it seemed to work.
Yeah, and I mean, there's actually, I've read a bit about some controversy around that whole aspect of men writing as women, you know, people of a certain ethnicity writing about other ethnicities. I mean, I think the big one was when Warren P. Kinsella was writing stories about Aboriginals in Alberta. Did that topic ever come up when you were working on this, about how could you, as a male, effectively write from a female point of view?
I think, yes, it was discussed in some of the critique groups, and when I presented them with the actual material that I was writing, as they corrected it, they realized, well, you know, you've really got it pretty well nailed, and really women write as about men, so people write about a lot of things that they don't experience themselves. Why not this?
So looking at that, was the aspect of getting the female character correct the biggest challenge you had, or were there other challenges that you had as you were writing Riptide?
I think that was the biggest challenge, yeah. How did she feel? What were the challenges that she had? Although there was also other aspects of finances and shrimping, because the other character in the book is the shrimp boat captain. So I had to do a lot of research on shrimping. But the female aspect was the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long did it take you to write Riptide, like from the point where you started conceiving it to the point where it finally hit publishing?
It's hard to pinpoint, but I would say at least 3 years.
Well, what I want to do right now is I want to take a final break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with author Eric Wright. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I feel like Humpty Dumpty in a million little pieces, and I need someone to make me whole again. Well, I had a nasty tumble and I kind of fell apart. I made a few bad choices and I gave away my heart. And I hate to be this broken when I used to feel so tall. I'd watch the world go on around me as I sat upon that wall. But then the story gets surprising just when you think it's going great. Well, the rug slipped from beneath me in a crazy twist of fate. Whole again. Could you make me whole? To offer me assistance in my need. The kings with all their horses and the doctors with their pills, the how-tos with their solutions try to drag me up that hill. But there ain't no earthly answer that could ever do the trick, for my pride is too familiar and my skin is not so thick. No super glue, no potion, no fancy new machine, no crystal flowing river that could ever wash me clean. Oh, make me whole again. Could you make me whole? Wanna be somebody else, but then you smile and tell me I don't need to second guess, 'cause somehow you see the beauty in the brokenness. Ooh, oh, make me whole again. Could you make me whole again? Could you make me whole? Could you make me whole again? I feel like Humpty Dumpty in a million little pieces. And I need someone to make me whole again.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. Arts Connection. You've been listening to Whole Again from the Carry Me Home CD by Allie Matthews. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with author Eric Wright. Eric, what's been the reaction to Riptide so far?
The reaction has been almost universally very encouraging. I've had tremendous reviews. There's very good reviews up on Amazon, up on Pelican Book Group, the homepage of the publisher. It's been very, very encouraging. And all of these reviews are from women. So again and again, I hear people saying, man, I got that book and I couldn't put it down. Just recently, I heard of another one who I read it in one day. I don't know as I want people to read a book in one day, but I'm getting that kind of reaction that it really carries people along and gives them an understanding of the challenges faced by a woman in this situation.
Well, you mentioned the fact that one of the things you needed to learn as you were writing these books was the pacing and developing. I mean, it's a suspense novel, and there's that aspect of urgency and speed in that, and that certainly does that, and you do get caught up in the story to the point where I could see somebody, you know, just spending a whole day, you know, reading it and trying to get to the end. In terms of what you're looking at people taking away from the novel, you mentioned, you know, you wanted to write about how you know, women facing the issues of being abandoned in that. Have you had any feedback on that area itself where people have said, I understand how she feels, I went through it myself, and that type of thing?
To tell you the truth, I haven't had a lot of feedback in that particular area yet. Of course, these are early days, so I haven't really had a chance to be out there much to promote the book, to let people know about the book since I've gone through knee surgery. But most of the responses have been just encouraging about the pacing and the plot and the story itself.
So what's next on your agenda?
Well, I'm thinking of a third suspense novel that goes back to the male character, Josh Radley. In this case, he's in Vancouver Island, where he's investigating a ship that has run aground in the course of smuggling immigrants into Canada. That's what I'm working on now.
Right. Any idea when you're hoping to see that one published?
No, I'm afraid not.
just in the beginning stages.
Sorry?
Just in the beginning stages, are you?
Yes, but, right. Well, I'm about chapter 8.
Cool. Now, where can people find out more about you and more about your books?
I think the main place to look is on my own website, www.countrywindow.ca. The book can be ordered, as well as other books can be ordered there, countrywindow.ca. I also have an author site on Amazon. Just use my name and look, go to Amazon. The books are available through Amazon either as paperback or ebooks. It's also available as an ebook on Kobo. And hopefully it'll be in bookstores in the months ahead.
Cool. Well, Eric, thanks very much for your time tonight.
And thanks very much for having me.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Eric Wright. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.